All that we see are seen. 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 All that we see are seen.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their powers from the consent of the governed. Greetings, America. This is Project Third Eye Open. I start reminding people what used to be truth, because since you question a truth is in serious question today, what is truth? Our founding principles, our founders saw that, or thought, at least during their time, that truth was self-evident, like oxygen we used to breathe, like black and white, opposite of up is down, self-evident truths. But do we know what truths are today? What is truth? What is right and wrong? First, let's define truth. Truth is a fact that has been verified or conformity to reality or actuality. Proverbs defines truth as the one who speaks truth give honest evidence. Not as you're trying to be too religious or spiritual, but there was a time that many of us saw the Bible as truth. So I'm referring back to that to get some better perspective on what I seek, which is truth. Those who perish do so because they are under the wicked deception and so refuse to love through truth and be saved. That's 2 Thessalonians 2:10. And this is 2 Thessalonians 2:12. Such people are condemned because they do not have or they do not believe the truth, but instead had pleasure in unrighteousness. Is that where we are? That intuitively, we know what truth is, but we decide to ignore it for the sake of pleasure. Let's go back to what our founders saw as an inevitable self-evident right or self-evident truths, that being the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. They saw that those self-evident rights were generally accepted by everyone. We were created equal. Not to say that once that we were always to and intended to be equal, but we were created so. So after we are created, then we have choices. We either go left or we go right. We do right or we do wrong. The outcomes of those choices makes us, by definition, unequal. They also say that that these inalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But let's look at that last, the pursuit of happiness. Many of you may not know that was initially property, not the pursuit of happiness, but property. And that phrase was first credited to John Locke, who he saw that government's sole duty was to secure the people's rights, that being right to life, liberty, and property. But Thomas Jefferson, in his prophetic wisdom, saw that people who prosper by the slave trade and having slaves may use that word property as an excuse to continue on with that way of life. So he changed property to pursuit of happiness, which is pretty interesting, because one of the things that divides this country today is the fact that race, and they want to rewrite our history and say that our founders were predominantly racist. I'll give you one example that one of the targets of that assertion, Thomas Jefferson, has some holes in it. Because if he was a racist, why would he care about whether or not people who were considered slaves would be viewed as property? But again, do we care about the truth? The founders saw that God was the originator of all of our rights. And that's one of the things that separates our country from everyone else's, that man is not the creditor of our existence, that we are in control of the government. The government derives its power from the will of the people, from the consent of the governed. We give the Congress, government, its power. Every other country, socialist, tyrannical, or dictatorial, monarchical form of government, it's the exact opposite. But do we care? We look around and we see a lot of chaos. And I think intuitively, we know that we are in a world of hurt. Statistics after statistics tell us that the majority of the population understands and sees that we are morally in decline. One third of us, though we profess to want or demand our rights, particularly today, the right for religious expression, or religious freedom, or right to freedom of the press, or right to free speech. But it's interesting that one third, a study by the Annenberg Public Policy, only one out of three cannot name any of the rights guaranteed in the First Amendment. So who are these people out on TV, looks like in mass, shouting that they want that right protected? Another statistic, 51% of our young people do not support capitalism. So are we on the right path? When you look around and you see what's going on, is there truth involved in that? We become such an accusatory society. At the same time, we become a very feminine society, a very what Barry Goldwater called the government paternal state, where we don't want to be offended, where we don't want to take responsibility for our actions, and we want someone to take care of us. But in that, truth fades, because truth sometimes hurts. Truth sometimes says things to us that we don't want to hear. Truth also says that water is wet, right is right, and wrong is wrong. So when we look at what's going on in today, when we see that men's careers, people's careers are being jeopardized just for mere accusation, not in the due process, mere accusation. I say he did that, but no proof. And what's more troubling is that if it's a woman who's accusing a man of doing something, it's automatically the scales of liberty is automatically justice, automatically tilted to the side of the female, without question. I'm not trying to necessarily blatantly defend any man out there for doing something wrong. But should that not be proven that he did that wrong? Would you not want that same liberty if you were in that person's space? Because there must be questions given in every situation. What happened and who was responsible? And that goes on both sides, especially when you're talking about humans. So right now, there are men being persecuted in the media for things they may have done or may not have done, or things that they did, but the intent might be misunderstood, or the circumstances were different than what they are today. Because I was looking at MASH, because I love MASH, and I'm looking at the Annals of Hawkeye. I could just say that the Annals of Hawkeye, and say just for argument's sake, he came back from MASH, came back from Vietnam, and wanted to be a politician. He would have a beast of a time being getting elected if any of his antics would come to light. But at that time of his antics, were they an assault, sexual assault, sexual harassment? Did the females protest, or was it seen at the time as what it was, humor, non-offensive? Think about that. When we look for truth, we have to look at the intent of the situation, and we also have to look at, were there any injured parties? We can't just go on emotion. We too often ask, what did you feel, rather than what did you think? Ever wonder why in the Garden of Eden there is two trees? There's a tree of knowledge of good and evil, and there's another tree that don't get as much publicity, the tree of life. The only tree that was forbidden was the tree of knowledge. And how did Adam and Eve be discovered that they had went against the wishes of God? Because they saw themselves, and for whatever reason, intuitively, they thought they saw themselves as wrong. Why? Because they were naked. Was them being naked wrong, or the fact that they saw themselves as naked, all of a sudden they didn't know how to handle that? So that famous question or statement by old Jack, you can't handle the truth. Because sometimes the truth is what it is. It's how you accept it, how you receive it. When we look at the fact that we're in a time that we have more information than at any time, almost in human history. But I was reading across, came across this Pew Research Center report stated that Americans don't read. A November 06 article or survey said that only a quarter of Americans cracked a book the previous 12 months. New York Times reported that students, 70% of students can't identify the supreme law of the land, that being the Constitution. Couple that with the fact that in that same article, 10% of college graduates think that Judge Judy is a Supreme Court justice. That's our next generation. It's not a question of how we can identify what is true. It's not a question of how this country that was constituted for free thinking individuals to have a diminishing knowledge of where they get their freedom from. And it's not the Constitution. The Constitution doesn't give us our freedom. The Constitution recognizes where we get our freedom from, and that is from our Creator. And it really doesn't matter what religion you are, that you're a part of. That's the whole crazy thing with this abolishment of God or Christianity from the public square in this country. And it's insane, because that's one of the pillars, the other pillars that divide us. Because it's interesting that, I'm quite sure y'all heard this, it's not polite to talk about politics or religion, but think about that. Those are the two things that bind us and that affects how we govern our lives. What else is there to talk about? Sports, weather, gossip. Imagine the people that you come in contact these days, family, friends, strangers, and all you talk about is Kaepernick. Or you talk about the Georgia Bulldogs or sports or what they did or put on Facebook or Twitter. What does that do? How does that benefit not just the person who you're having a conversation with, but how does that benefit society, religion, what you believe in? That is a lot more substantive and has a greater degree of effect on your life and anyone else's life. But we don't discuss it. Why? Because we think it will offend someone. We don't want to piss anybody off. Or we don't want to make anybody upset. But think of it this way. When you look at the fact that Martin Luther King said this, he said, men often hate each other because we fear each other. We fear each other because we don't know each other. We don't know each other because we don't communicate. We don't communicate because we are separate. We're not talking to each other. We're not exchanging ideas. We're picking up our own corners. We're not wanting to share our truths, to put light on our truths, to see if they withstand the light. The idea that somehow we can function and that we can grow without knowing what our truths are. What do we believe? What is your truth? What is your found principle? We have young people growing up, don't want to grow up, don't have any foundational truth. One of the highest groups in our society that commit suicide are young people. Why is that? And what shocking thing is that the CDC reported that the suicide is the third leading cause of death among persons aged 10 to 14, the second among persons aged 15 to 35 years old, is because they don't know what truth is. We're having a generation that is not grounded by biblical principles, biblical morality. They're guided by what feels good. Their morality is governed by the here and now, almost like a narcissist. It's all about me. So when you look at the fact that more and more young people are leaning towards socialism and away from capitalism, why is that? Because socialism, in its presentation, takes care of everything. You ain't got to worry about eating. You ain't got to worry about working. Everybody's probably making the same money. It's like a heaven on earth. But that ignores the reality that every government that has tried pure socialism has went down in a ball of flames. Has anybody looked at Venezuela? How about North Korea? China finally got the idea, but they still holding on with one and a half hands on their communist ways. But let's look at that. What are the young people seeing? What are they bringing forth? What are they learning from what they see the elders, how they behave? When we look at our young people and when we intuitively believe that something's not right, and it's not that that's even a question. Survey after survey after survey, as I said, shows that Americans do believe that the country's on the wrong path. A recent survey just this month showed that 63% of respondents reported significant stress about the future of America, mainly in dealing with money and dealing with work. People stress based on things that they do not know. And when you remove what has traditionally been right, what's been traditionally seen as wrong, then where do you go? Who do you look for advice if they say if your traditional moral foundation, that being a Bible, has been taken off limits, where you can't talk about it in public, or you can't express your traditional Judeo-Christian values when you were brought up in a time where there were definitive role models, definitive gender models, where now we live in a time that man don't know how to be a man and woman don't know how to be a woman. We live in a time that right is wrong and wrong is right. Where do you go? Do you not think that that does create some degree of stress, not just in the lives of adults, but how about the lives of the children? What kind of effect is that having on their lives? And better yet, ask yourself, what can we do about it? First, we have to recognize that we are stressed. And secondly, we need to look at, well, what can we do to get back on the right path? We got to recognize that we're not on the right path, and that we are off the path. Early America emphasized religion, morality, and law, and knowledge. And many of us would be surprised that as recently as 1890, most of the state universities in this country had church service. So it's not anything that's totally out of realm for our culture to believe in something other than ourselves. Believe that there's a right and wrong. Believe that there's truth. Believe that there is absolutes. We just have to find out again and become more, again, attached to that. Ask yourself, how can I make our country better? What can I do in my own lives? Maybe to stop watching so much TV. Maybe to read more. Maybe have more articulate and informative conversations between you and the next person that you have a conversation with above sports. Look at that. Say, question with boldness the very existence of God. Because if there be one, he must approve of the reverence of reason rather than that of blind faith or than that of blindfold fear. Thomas Jefferson. Definitely do appreciate your time listening to me. And I look forward to having a conversation again with you. Thank you again, America. Good day.
All that we see are seen. All that we see are seen. All that we see are
within the dream. The dream 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 within the dream.